If you're just joining us here for the first time or haven't been around the last few times I've spoken, I'm doing something a little different. And that is we've been going through the Holy Spirit prayer list. And it's based upon the verses that Jesus spoke when he said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." And what we know and can see from the words of the Lord that he said, if someone asked their father for a fish, would he give him a serpent? If he asked for an egg, right, would he give him a scorpion? If he asked for bread, would he give him a stone? And every father knows that, no, I would give my child what they need for their nourishment. And Jesus said, well, if you know then, being evil, how to give good gifts, how much more the Father in heaven will he give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? And in this prayer list we've been going through, and we're not going to cover the points that we've been doing, but we've been going through a lot of points. And part of the emphasis of this message and part of the reason to have this Holy Spirit prayer list is sometimes we just don't remember that we need to go to God for the things. And as you start to look at this list, to ask for the Spirit to help specifically for what we need. And to realize that the relationship that God wants us to have, you know, as Paul said at the end of 2 Corinthians, he said, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And that communion is what Jesus said would be to our advantage. He said, it's to your advantage that I leave. And every time I read those words, I'm like, come on, Jesus. Really? It's to our advantage that you left? The disciples got to be saying, what are you talking about? We've been watching you. God in the flesh, Emmanuel, we've been watching you heal the sick and preach the gospel and do all these good things. And he's like, I need to leave. Because if I leave, I will send the Spirit to you. And if you have the Spirit is going to lead you and help you. And so what we've been seeing in this list is just the number of ways that God has shown and specifically called out by his Spirit. He did this, he did that, and we can ask for this help. And to realize that the relationship with God is not just to be a theoretical relationship. That God in us is not just a theory. It is the actual reality of how we commune with God and have a relationship with God. And we need that. Now, here we are on the 42nd day in a count of 50 days to the day of Pentecost. Next weekend, we will celebrate here. We will celebrate Saturday. We will celebrate Sunday. We will celebrate Pentecost as this time comes to a conclusion. But what is this about? The gathering in of a people. And how are we defined as a people? By the Spirit of God. In fact, if we get there today, we will read a verse that says that if you do not have the Spirit of Christ, you're not his. Who we are, our identity comes when we confess Jesus as Lord and we receive of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of adoption by which we can now cry out, Abba, Father. And you see, when we surrender, what we're really saying is, you are God. You're my dad. You are my life. And I need you. I submit. I surrender this will. I surrender my thinking. I surrender what I want for you, God. And this has been the message that Jesus gave, that everyone who would be a disciple must take up his cross daily and follow him. And as we begin now in the book of Acts, if you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, and we start to go through and add to this list, I believe for those of you that like numbers, I believe this is number 54. 54 things already we're getting to pray. And we're not done. But notice here in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, speaking of this time of the year and speaking of Pentecost, notice here it says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, so when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And God willing, that is where we will be here next Sunday on the day of Pentecost, with one heart and one mind surrendered to him. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And when this sound occurred, the multitude came together and were confused, because every one heard them speak in his own language. How powerful is that to be able to communicate? in this example, the Holy Spirit was coming upon them just as Jesus promised. He said, wait here till you receive power from on high. And they received the power from on high. And people were able to hear the message from God in their own language. Now, what a brilliant thing that is. George is not here, but if you've met George here, George grew up speaking English, not Spanish. But he started reading the Bible in English and Spanish, and before long, he understood Spanish and was giving sermons in Spanish. And it's kind of an amazing thing to think about how quickly he was able to transition to speaking sermons in a language not his own, but to make himself known in another language to reach people. Now, you and I should pray when we have need to communicate with somebody that can't understand, that they would be able to understand in their own language and in their own understanding. But I want you to think about this. We pray for this ability to speak in another language. Just realize that even those of us who all speak English speak in other languages. And we hear differently from one another. And what the power of God's Spirit can do is come into our lives to help us to speak from heart to heart, from deep to deep, to have the ability to communicate on a deeper level that we humanly just can't do. How do you reach people's hearts? How do you reach where they are? You know, the Apostle Paul said, I become all things to all people that I might gain them for Christ. And the Holy Spirit comes here to preach to those that would not normally be able to understand. But he makes for understanding because he wants his message to go forward. One of the deepest things that we can be praying for is, God, bless me with your Spirit that when I speak your word, it is heard and understood no matter what language the other person is listening in. Help me, God, to have the power of your presence. Because more than saying the right word or saying exactly the right phrase, it is a thought of heart of God to another person to declare his gospel, to declare his goodness that we need. And God demonstrated this on the day of Pentecost by pouring out his Spirit, that those who might not have been able to understand, that they understood. And we should pray that on our list. So point number 54 here is to speak with other languages and that we can be heard by others in their own language. Turn over with me to chapter 4 and verse 1. And so again, if you're just joining us for the first time, what we're doing is we're continuing to build in this list. We will post it on our website as we continue to build it so that you can review it. But we're building a list not just to have knowledge of these things, but to pray with expectancy for what God can do. That God can speak, that God can give divine inspiration, and that God can help us in so many different ways. Notice here in Acts chapter 4, it says here in Acts chapter 4, it says, now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, and being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus the resurrection of the dead, they laid hands on them and put them into custody until the next day, for it was already evening. So we should not be surprised when authorities want to imprison or authorities want to hurt. This was happening right from the very beginning. And here are the disciples being put into custody and having to spend the night in jail. However, it says many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000. So even though they were successful in preaching, they also went to jail. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, as many as were of the family of the high priest, they were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? So I just want you to think about you being put in the midst of a group of people, the very leaders of the Jews and the high priest and the family and all the people. And now you're being asked to give an answer. And I think that we could imagine that being in the midst of government leaders, being put in the middle to speak, to give answer. Why are you doing what you do? And I love the way God responded for his disciples. Notice what he says. Verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. And this is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. This is the essence of what we do when we get on our knees before the Lord and we say a prayer of surrender. What we are saying to God is, the stone that I've rejected needs to be the chief cornerstone in my life. The stone that I have been resisting needs to come in and be the very foundation from which I walk forward from now on. And the building of my life must be on this chief cornerstone. And any other building that is going on in my life needs to be torn down. Because there is no other foundation that can be laid in our lives other than Jesus Christ. You realize the power of forgiveness that comes into our lives, that comes into our relationships and our heart. Every relationship must be founded on the forgiveness that is in Jesus Christ. Because we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Sometimes we think we found the perfect person. They're never going to do wrong. They're never going to sin. But you spend enough time with anybody, you're going to see. You're going to see. And sometimes the people that you love the most, they're the ones that actually hurt you the most. The wounds go deeper. The inconsiderate talk, the lack of helpfulness, the lack of being serving. We can find that the people that we're closest to can be the people that can wound us the most. And what we find is that for us to have life and to give life, for us to be free and to give freedom, every relationship we have must be founded upon the chief cornerstone that is Jesus Christ, with a constant need to receive and to give the forgiveness that has been paid through him. It has to always be present. Because otherwise what happens is the vessel that he made for honor becomes corrupt through bitterness, through resentments, through anger that never get resolved, that never get revealed. And what God is wanting to do is make us clean vessels so that he can work in our lives and to give honor and glory to him and to have the courage to speak. He is the name. Jesus is the name by which everyone can be free. Jesus is the name that gives life and power to a message of the resurrection of the dead. All the purity of the resurrection, to be immortal, to be incorruptible, to have a new life. It is all found in the name of Jesus Christ. And so here we see in Acts 4, Peter so beautifully having the courage to preach the gospel of Jesus, the one name, the one foundation. And so that's point number 55, to have the courage to preach the gospel, something we should be praying for, that God would help us when we stand in the midst with people around who we know already just put us into jail, who already would discount our message, that we would have the courage to preach it plainly. Notice down in verse 31, it also says here in Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness. Now, why were they praying? Because they'd been told to stop doing what they were doing. And they basically said, we can't. Let's pray about it. And God blessed them with the Holy Spirit to speak the word with boldness. So that's point number 56, to pray that God would bless us with his Spirit to preach the word with boldness, that we would preach the word with boldness. What beautiful thing to ask for. Turn over with me now to Acts chapter 7. This is at the end of the time of Stephen. And you remember that Stephen was among the disciples. Stephen was one that was set apart, a man full of the Holy Spirit. And Stephen was preaching in boldness. He had the courage to stand up and actually lay the charge that those he was speaking to, that they were responsible for the death of Jesus Christ. And it says that their reaction wasn't as we saw in Acts where people were cut to the heart to turn to Christ. Notice the reaction was to put him down and to put him to death. But it says this in verse 54, when they heard these things, this is Acts 7, verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus at the right hand of God. Being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus at the right hand of God. So we can pray, Father, fill me with your Spirit to see the glory of the Lord and to see Jesus. The more we see him, the more we are transformed by him. To have a greater revelation of who God is should be the purpose why we go into his word. That we see beyond the instruction to the God who wrote the instruction. That we would understand that in every writing of a commandment, there is a sliver of the character of the goodness of God being shown to us. And we need to see the glory of God. And so we pray this point from Acts 7 to see the glory of God. And it says here that he saw God and he said, look, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And it said that they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I want you to think about how powerful the seeing of the Lord here as Stephen is ending his life on this earth, that he is seeing the glory of the Lord and he is calling out with forgiveness for those that were putting him to death. The very thing that Jesus did when he was on the cross, that when they were putting him on the cross and crucifying him, he prayed this prayer, all of this being inspired by the Spirit. Now let's turn over to Acts chapter 8. So we continue our journey through the scripture here in building this Holy Spirit prayer list. This is Acts chapter 8. Notice with me now in verse 29. The Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I understand unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. And the place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent. He opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man? And then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. How important is it that the Holy Spirit tell us where to go? I mean, isn't this beautiful that somebody is reading the scripture, that God is able to look at who he's got opened in the scripture, and he can tell someone, one of his disciples who understands the scripture, to go to that person for the purpose of giving them the truth. How is God doing this in your life today? You see, this is where being open to the leading of the Holy Spirit becomes so important, because if we always have our own agenda and we're not asking for the direction of the Holy Spirit to tell us where to go, to give us the divine appointments, to put us in the right place where we need to be, to tell us when to get on that chariot to catch it, we won't always know. What strength or power do we have of our own human selves to be able to know these things? And what is so beautiful is God is telling us this in the book of Acts. He's telling us, this is how my church is doing it. The Holy Spirit is directing. The Holy Spirit is coming upon, just like Jesus promised the Holy Spirit would, that they would receive power to preach, to speak the words with courage and with confidence, to convert people, to be heard by people in their own language, to go and chase that person down because they're in my word and you're going to help them understand. Do you realize the honor that it is to be engaged in another person's life, to be sharing the understanding of the Word of God with them? And you see, that's why fellowship here is so important. That is why coming together to a worship service is so important, because we get filled up with God's Word. We worship God, but then we get to share with each other the Word and share with each other. One of the things I have so treasured about Rock Valley is the heart that you have for God and the heart that that leads you to have toward one another. That I know that when the service ends, you will fellowship with one another. You will talk and engage and show care for one another, and that you pray for one another. One of the best things I see is after services when I'm talking with people and maybe praying for people myself, and I just kind of look around the room and I see all of you ministering to one another and sharing these things. God can use you. Are you available for the use? Are you making yourself available? But even more than that, let's pray that God would send us to the place to catch the chariots that we need to send us to the place so he can direct us exactly where to go. Let's pray that prayer. And then notice here in verse 39, not only can he direct Philip where to go, but notice in Acts 8 and verse 39, it says, "Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip, he was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all cities till he came to Caesarea." So the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. So not only can he tell you where to go, he can take you where to go. Are you ready for the transportation? Right? How many are looking for some transportation from the Holy Spirit? I got to admit, it'd be cool to wake up in Rome. I'd like a little Rome and then maybe some Paris. I think, you know, I can preach the gospel in many places. But asking the Holy Spirit to transport you to where you need to be for what you need to do. And that's what was happening with Philip, being taken to a different place. And what did he do? As soon as he got there, he went and preached in these different places. What a beautiful thing. So let's pray and ask God to bless us with his Spirit to be caught away, to be in a place where we can serve, where we can help according to the will of God. That's number 59. Let's turn over to Acts 9:31 now. Acts 9:31. "Then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified, and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied." Walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Let's ask God to bless us with the Holy Spirit to receive comfort. Brian Smith gave a beautiful message at School of Ministry, and this is one of the things in School of Ministry I'm allowed to share. But he gave a really good message about the Paracletos, the helper, the comforter, and how God's love for us was to send the Spirit that we would not be orphans and be left alone. In all of our lives, maybe through times that we're going through right now, or just there's things happening that are so unsettling to our spirits, to receive a comfort that comes from God, to have an expectation that when we are feeling distressed and when we are feeling in need, that we can pray to God and ask for the Spirit to come to comfort us. I think it's one of the most amazing things about God is he is showing us through all this list and all these points that we're looking at the Holy Spirit, how much he cares about us, how much he loves us. He is so engaged, even as that, "I just want to come and bring you comfort." So are you in need of comfort? Ask God, "Father, bless me with the Holy Spirit to comfort my spirit. Bless me with the Holy Spirit that I would be comforted in my heart and in my mind. Take away my angst and my anxieties, and let me be free to be whole. Heal me." Turn with me now over to Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. Acts chapter 10 and verse 19. It says, "While Peter thought about the vision," and this is the vision that he received when he saw the sheet coming down from heaven, and he was commanded to eat what was common and unclean. And so Peter was thinking about this vision. Notice in verse 19 of Acts chapter 10, it says, "While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, 'Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them.'" Now, isn't that cool? I mean, here is God speaking to Peter to tell him, these people that are coming, they're strangers to you, but don't worry about it. I'm the one who sent them to you. So you don't need to worry. You don't need to doubt. You don't need to have any concern about what they're coming to you for. What a beautiful thing to know what is in a person and to be told ahead of time what's going to happen. For God to think, I should let Peter know so he's not concerned. I want Peter to know so that he'll just go with them and that he won't be doubting. It solves a lot of problems with new relationships in life, doesn't it? To have an understanding of who a person is and to have the Holy Spirit give indication and understanding when a situation maybe looks a little suspect. You know, one of the gifts to remember and to be able to discern and to understand the things of God. And so that's our point number 61, to receive knowledge of a suspect situation. To receive knowledge of a suspect situation here in Acts 10, verses 19 to 23. And as we know, the story goes on that he preaches the word and confirms that it was God who sent him. And God used this for his glory in bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Turn with me now over to Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And notice here in Acts chapter 11 and verse 27. It says, and in those days the prophets came from Jerusalem to Antioch, and then one of them stood up named Agabus. He stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to their brethren dwelling in Judea. And they also did and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So, what happened by the Holy Spirit? There was an understanding of a prophecy that there was going to be a warning that a great famine would be throughout all the world. There's a problem coming. And what did it allow the disciples to do? To know of the problem and not just say, well, it's from God. Woo! You know, I guess this is what he wants. Let it go. Let it play out. No. He warned them of the famine so that they could be doing what? Caring for other people. And sometimes you need the warnings to get yourself on the right side of things. You need to know what's happening to put yourself in the right perspective and to remember what the will of God is and how you can engage in whatever way you can to be helpful. Because even at this time, the disciples already had a spirit of, we hear about people in trouble in another place. How do we get to help them somewhere else? And you see, the country of the United States had this as part of the core and the fundamental fabric of our society. There is no country in the world. Look at the stats. You can check it out on Google. There is no nation that is more giving to other nations to help. And I'm not just talking about governments. I'm talking about the citizens who put money up to say, how can I be helpful to somebody that's experiencing a tragedy somewhere else? Or when we have it in a part of our country where other states send aid and people and resources to go in and try to be helpful. We as a nation desire to do this, and we need to remember that this is part of the work of the Holy Spirit. But here we see the warnings that can come to let people know in advance. So what is our prayer here? God, you don't do anything without revealing it to your servants, the prophets. Give me knowledge that I can warn of great famines and world events. Do you still believe that God does things like that? Yes, thank you, Brian. Because if you don't believe what we're reading, then what happens is the Bible just becomes a theoretical book or a history book of what happened. But this, my friends, is a living testimony. See, one of the interesting understandings that we come to as Christians, the more we seek God and the more we come into his word, is that this book, while it has beautiful literature, as Chris was talking about this week, and beautiful stories and action adventures and history, that this book is a living book breathed by God. And the thing is that through this book, he breathes still to us today. See, we can look at this book as something that was, but if we look at this book as what is, and it's the word of God speaking to us in 31,000 verses of, let me tell you about life. He gives these teachings and these examples of what he did through believers to let you see and know how engaged he is, how much he loves, how he loves to pour out his grace, how he wants to help you. See, I don't know that of all the things that we're going through in this list, that you'll get to personally experience every one of them. I know I haven't experienced every one of them. It doesn't stop me from asking. Because ultimately, I want to be whoever, wherever, however God wants me to be in that place and time, to know where God wants you to be doing the things God wants you to do, and know that he's going to give you everything of heaven to help you in that situation. See, I don't know, Marissa, where you're to be right now, but I know you're for God. And I know that God loves you, and I know that God's on your side, and I know that God has so many ministries for you, that he has prepared your heart and mind for the things that he wants to do in your life. And don't ever doubt who you are in Christ Jesus, and don't ever doubt that he is completely on your side. Because he is. He is for you and not against you, and he will lift you up and build you up, because you are a daughter of the Most High God, and you receive that promise by the Holy Spirit to make you who you're supposed to be. God really loves you. It's incredible how much he loves you. All right. So point number 62, to warn of great famines and world events. Let's turn over to Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 4. Acts chapter 13, verses 2 to 4. So some of the disciples had gathered here at Antioch, and as they ministered in Acts 13, verses 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, "Now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. What were they doing? They were together to do what? Fast and pray. And the Spirit speaks, and the Spirit says, "Separate. Separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work." So what should we be praying for? To be told who has been set apart and appointed for specific service. One of the things that I have encouraged you to do for quite a while now is to realize that every person is part of the body for the edification of the body. And what role you play is a role that God gives you by revelation. Here, Saul and Barnabas were spoken about. The Spirit told those disciples that were gathering, separate these two, lay hands on them. They were sent out by the Holy Spirit. Is there anything better than knowing exactly what God wants you to do? It makes life so much easier. I was sharing with the men this week about even having services here again, and what we did in having the time off, and then how do we restart these services. And ultimately for me and for Scott, as we came together, we fasted, we prayed, we were saying, "God, help us." And I know many of you here were fasting and praying with us and for us, and asking God to give us wisdom. What was the timing? What was the direction? But here's what I know, is that where I could of my own reason wondered, do we do this or not? Seeking the face of God to know, yes, do this, changed everything for me. It removes the doubt. It removes what we're supposed to do. And it even removed when we were supposed to do it. And so having God speak to Scott and having God speak to me and being able to confirm independent of one another what we were to do and joining us together at that moment, at that time, and then to know, and even though I was resistant on the date, it was the date, it was the right thing, because God knew when we would have the first service, and God knew it would be just fine. And God knew. And the thing is that in our lives, to be directed by God what to do is what we should be asking for of the Spirit. God, you set apart who you want. And it's not just for me personally or Scott personally. It's for all of us. All of us have a part in the body of Christ. All of us have a point to be edifying and a place to be edifying. What does God want you to do? If you don't know, no problem. Because there's one who can tell you so quickly and so easily. But the question is, are we fasting and praying even to listen to God? So that as when these disciples were gathered together and fasting and praying, they were there ready to hear. And so let us pray that God would bless us with His Spirit so that we can hear, that we can know who is to go and preach the word, who has been set apart and appointed for service. So that's point number 63. Let's ask God to bless us with His Spirit to be told who has been set apart and appointed for specific service. Now let's continue on here, because notice that they were sent out by the Spirit. Notice in verse 5, so when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. Now, when they had gone through the island of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so his name is translated, withstood them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. And then Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, O full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. And then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Being astonished by what he was seeing. So what's point number 64? To powerfully stand against sorcerers who would turn people away from the faith. To stand against sorcerers who want to pervert the straight ways of the Lord. So again, to powerfully stand against sorcerers who would turn people away from the faith. Let's turn over now to Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15. And notice with me in verse 28. Acts chapter 15 and verse 28. For it seemed good to us and to the Holy Spirit to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, from sexual immorality. And if you keep yourselves from these, you do well. Farewell. So notice, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourself from these things, you do well. Now let me ask you a question. As we read through the New Testament, were these the only things that the Gentiles were taught to do? Can anybody think of any other verses, maybe in Romans or Corinthians or Galatians, Ephesians, where people were told anything else? Does anybody think of one? This is interactive. That's why you're here today. If you didn't want to interact, you stream. But you're being here, you're committed to answering questions. Can anybody think of any other verses? Let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, right? He talks about humility, esteeming the interests of others better than self. That wasn't specifically put here, was it? There was a specific thing that was being charged here in Acts about what made somebody a follower of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing that is very interesting. I've seen this play out many times. When someone is coming to Christ, you don't need to tell them every doctrine you can think of and lay it all on them at the same time and overwhelm them with all the things you know about prophecy and the little horn of Daniel and, you know, all the things that you can go on about and try to download and spill information onto someone. Do you know when you're starting a walk, you start by walking. When someone is coming to Jesus, what's the best thing that you do? You give them the milk. You know, could you imagine that you give birth to a baby and you start trying to feed it filet mignon? It doesn't work. No matter how good filet is, it doesn't work. Unless you cook it on a Traeger when it's really tender. But other than that, you've got to give that baby milk. You've got to give them something they can receive. So here's the prayer. Pray that God would bless you with the Spirit to not put more on somebody than they can handle, to lay no greater burden on them than what God wants. Because so often we can say, oh, I got all this knowledge, I've got all this understanding, and I'm just going to just push all this on a person, and they're not ready for it. It's like trying to give meat to a baby. It's inappropriate. It doesn't work. They can't digest it. What can they digest? There's a God. Where do you start? There's a Creator. There's a Savior. You've sinned and fallen short. Here's the plan. We rejected God from the beginning. You give them the basic elements of the gospel. The good news was telling you there is a God who made you and who loves you. You're not here by chance. You're here on purpose. And the purpose that God has made you for is a beautiful purpose. And what He wants to do is share life with you for all eternity. Enter into the fellowship that God wants to give you. And you start with the basic relationship. Because if you start trying to load somebody with a bunch of things, you can end up very quickly turning a relationship into religion. And you can turn devotion and love into practices and disciplines. And the thing that we should understand about Christianity, and through going through these sermons about the Holy Spirit, is that this is all about a relationship. It's about a fellowship. It's about a communion that is going on between us and God, whereby He's leading us. Do you realize that this is a distinctive of Christianity in all the world, in anything that might be called religion or a religious belief? That we believe that it is not so much about what we do, it's about what He's done. See, Christ is the answer. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. And when it comes to then having received Christ, even though we've been given the written Word of God, the Spirit of God leads us in accordance with the Word of God so that we can know specifically what to do and when. That's relational. That is the experience of being a Christian. It is more than just having knowledge and having theoretical practices or thoughts. It is actually experiencing God in your life, walking with God. And if there's anything that you really take from this sermon, is that the invitation has been made to you to walk with God. The invitation is to you to say, do you want God in your life? Do you want to be told what is happening? As we talked about last week, do you want to be listening about Jesus, to hear the testimony of Jesus? Do you want to be convicted of sin? Do you want to be convicted of righteousness? Do you want to be told things that are to come? Do you want to understand the prophetic words? Do you want to have wisdom and understanding? All these things that we've been talking about that are shown in the Scriptures is an invitation to a relationship. It's not just to say, I know God can. No, it's that God does and He wills, and He is engaged with you. And what God knows is what's best for His kids. So who you are and how you fit and what God knows that you need, He is there to help you. But this is what makes Christianity so different. It is beyond the disciplines of practices that say these are the holy practices. It is about a relationship with a holy God who doesn't just consider the outside of the cup, but He cleans us inside. He speaks to us inside. He gives understanding inside so that we can. Remember, we read in Ezekiel, and if we didn't, I'll just remind you of it, because I don't remember if we did now or not, but in Ezekiel 1 and 2, the Spirit entered into Ezekiel so he could understand what the Spirit was saying. The Spirit entered Ezekiel so he could understand what the Spirit was saying. And we need God inside. And this is so different than what religion is. Don't think of Christianity as just another form of practices. Though we have practices, we have things that we do, but they're all born out of a love for God. And so when He says, this is the love of God, that you would keep My commandments and My commandments are not burdensome, it's because it's relational. It's because it's about sharing life with God and having God in us to do these things. So the prayer here from Acts chapter 15, verses 28 to 29, to receive the Spirit, to understand what burden God would lay upon believers. Look over in chapter 16 now in verse 6. Notice this. How important is this? Acts 16:6. Now, when they had gone through
Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. Now, how many of you thought that God would have his word preached anytime, any place, no restriction on it? Because I will tell you, before I read this verse, I thought that was the rule. But what does this verse tell you? Sometimes God says, I don't want you to preach the word there. Why would the Holy Spirit forbid them to go preach the word? Does God know better than us? Does God have sight and insight? Is God working a plan in your life, and do you see this? See, what we're asking for with the guidance and the blessing of these different things of the Holy Spirit is that God would show you where to go, and God would show you what to do and when. See, when we talk about surrender again, it's saying that God, I know you're God and I'm not. And as I lay my life down, I am here for your purposes. And what I need from you, God, is for you to lead me in where to go. But I need you to help me with what to do. Remember last week we read in the Gospels, it says that even when you're brought before somebody, don't worry about what you're going to say. The Spirit will give you what to say. So if the Spirit tells you where to go, the Spirit is willing to help you get there. The Spirit is telling you when to preach and when not to preach. If the Spirit is engaging in life, what do we see by these verses? If not the fact that God is saying, I will guide you through all your steps. Do you want that? Do you want that? When I started ministering as a 20-something-year-old kid, I thought, hey, I'll just preach the gospel wherever. And, you know, I'm going to ask God to bless it. And I had a plan. I had a plan how I was going to preach the gospel. And Stephanie helped me so faithfully. We bought a computer, which in those days, they were pretty expensive. And like $5,000 for a computer. I mean, we didn't have a lot of money, but it was part of what we wanted to do to spread the gospel. And we started a newsletter called Ambassadors for Christ. And we gave it out, mailed it out to friends, and we put it like at Barnes & Noble. And in those days, a lot of people went to Barnes & Noble in our town, and you could go in, and there it was, Ambassadors for Christ, free literature right there, and they could read about Jesus. How much fruit or success came from that? Well, God showed me none, but, I mean, it was good to write it. It was good to do the work, but if it had fruit, we never got to see it. We were scattering seed, but who knows what ground it was hitting and what impact it had. And when I came to God after that point, because at that point it wouldn't have been good for me to even start ministering to anybody, because I still needed to be ministered to. I still needed to come to receive the Holy Spirit, because I was still looking at the Bible and thinking, this is the playbook by which I need to figure it out. That was not true. You see, the only way I can ever have an impact on the life of another person is if God decides that I can have impact on the life of another person, and only if His Spirit is blessing the relationship with that person am I going to have an impact. That's it. There's nothing I can do. If God isn't in it, what does it say? Unless the Lord builds the house, the weary builders, they toil in vain. I was a toiler in vain because I was going to places or trying to do things of my own resources and not realizing that the inspiration comes from God. Now, that doesn't mean that you just say, well, God hasn't spoken to me, I don't need to do anything. Because as we already saw, there's times of fasting, times of prayer, times of seeking. Because all service that is genuinely from God comes and is born out of that relationship that you have with Him. So seeking His face, seeking to understand, fasting, praying, saying, I just want to be close to you. And really, when you make just being close to God the goal of your life, just to draw near, I just want to be near you, God. I don't even want to ask you for too much. I see these things, but really, what is this really about for me? I just want to be led by your Holy Spirit in whatever I do. And when you make God the portion of your life, not your own glory, not your own ways, not your own purposes and plans, but the purposes and plans that are born out of the Holy Spirit. God can take you and say, do this. I want you to do this. I'm in a place right now because God told us, do this. And people come not because of anything good in us, but God said, do this. And we gather together as brothers and sisters, as believers before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because God says, do this. And what can we do for God? You know, Izzy was showing last week, here's a way that God's been showing. How can we reach the 100 million people? How can we reach 100 million people for Christ? There's billions of people available online every day. How do we reach 100 million of them for Christ? How do we go about preaching the word and proclaiming the name of Jesus to everybody we can? And you see, this is the inspiration that God has given to us. He didn't give that inspiration 5 years ago, but He has given it here this year in 2019. How do we do that? And see, all of us can be a part of that, whether it's content you're creating or content you're sharing or the way that you go about it. We know what plan we're to be working right now. And so we put our energy, our time, our resources, our finances into it to say, we need to share the gospel. There's never been a time where people are more in need of God than now, to realize that it's not about government. It is not about politics. It is about the Almighty. And what we need to be seeking is for God in our lives, because if it is not God in our lives, who then is leading us? Is there any other leader that is worthy of our worship and of our obedience? If it is not of God first, then who is this God that we serve and worship? And that's the thing to realize, that the Holy Spirit is being given as an advantage. Do we take advantage of the advantage? If we're not taking advantage of the advantage, then where are we? Not only are we without the Spirit, we're without Jesus, because He's in heaven. And He said, it's good for me to depart from you because I will send the Spirit. But if we're not walking in the Spirit, if we're not seeking the Spirit of God, if we're not saying, God, I need you in everything, I need you to show me, to lead me, to guide me into all truth, then who is? Are you capable of doing that yourself? Because what I see is the surrender that is necessary is to allow God by His Word and His Spirit to have an impact in our lives to take us where we need to go. So when we're going to do something with our families, in our businesses, in our communities, in this church, if we're looking for ministry, let's seek God. Because the best ministry you can do is the one He's saying, this is what I want you to do. Do you believe God can speak to you? Do you believe God can direct you? Because we've been reading over and over. You can read from Genesis to Revelation. God speaks to His people. He tells them what to do. Why does He do that? Because they're surrendered to Him and they want to know what to do. It's a volunteer to say, God, I see you and I choose you. And that's really what this list is about. It's about humbling ourselves before God on a daily basis and praying for the Holy Spirit in all these various ways, so that we can be the people that God has chosen us to be, and we can do the things God has chosen us to do by His Spirit of grace in our lives. My friends, you have so much power behind you. You have the power of the universe. Did you know that the Apostle Paul said that you can do more than you can think or imagine according to the power that is already within you? Already within you. Already within you. There is more than you can think or ask. I don't know how much can you guys think or ask. I can ask a lot. I can think a lot. I mean, I dream pretty big. There's more. There's more. Jesus laid out promises for us. And the key for all this is to believe that we would receive of His Spirit, that we would walk in His Spirit, and that we would follow Him. So looking at these verses here, let's finish up here now in Acts chapter 16. We just read here in verse 6. So they had been forbidden, verse 6, by the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia. And after they had come to Mysia, they tried to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit did not permit them there either. So they tried two different places, and the Spirit said no. So passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And now after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. God already had a plan where he wanted them to be. Is that where you want to be? Do you want to be where God wants you to be? Do you want to do what God wants you to do? You see, so often in life, we can look at circumstances and we can have a reason from the scripture even. But what does God want us to be doing? It wasn't that he was against them preaching the gospel, but he already had a plan to whom the gospel was to be preached. Go to where he wants you to go. That comes by God's Spirit, not our own understandings. Making plans with God for what God wants. And then just let's finish here in Acts chapter 18. But I want you to notice this. When Silas and Timothy had come from Macedonia, so they'd gone to Macedonia, and now they're coming from Macedonia, Paul was compelled by the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus is the Christ. What a beautiful relationship to know when to not do something and when to do something. So let's just ask ourselves the question here as we finish up today, because the book of Acts is, as much as it's the Acts of the disciples, it's really the Acts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was leading everything in what they were doing. The success they were having was coming because they were being told where to go, what to do, who to preach to, who not to preach to. The story is really how God works with his people. Do we think it's any different today? Don't believe fake news. That's old, that's done away, that was in the past, that doesn't happen. The good news is this is the relationship you've been invited into. God is not writing this to us to make us jealous that they got to experience something we didn't. God is writing to us to tell us about the way he has worked with those who love him and seek him out in the past. And to remember that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to him. That's what he wants. Loyalty, relationship, that the love he poured out would be poured back upon him, and that the desires that we have for these gifts of the Spirit and these helpings of the Spirit would be because we love God and we love each other. There is no greater place to be than in the hand and will of God, and to be walking in a way where your life is being used as an instrument of service for God, by God, to someone else. And I hope that is your prayer. And what I see in this church is that is what I'm telling you and encouraging you, church, is there is so much more here. There's so much more. The church is waiting to blossom even further. And don't think that because we are small in number, that is anything of concern to God. He started out with 12 disciples. There were 120 on the day of Pentecost that turned the world upside down. Don't think that it's a numbers issue. It's a faith issue. That we would love God and expect these things that he's showing to us, that we would pursue him with our hearts and our lives, that we would walk in the ways that God wants us to walk. And if you find yourself in a place where you are doubting, if you are unbelieving, let's talk, let's pray about it. Because ultimately, God did not write a book to tell you about other people's stories just so you would know the history of what happened with them. God is trying to write an epistle in you right now. How will you be that epistle? To your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to your brothers and sisters, to your neighbors in this body. You are the epistle that is being written by the Holy Spirit, not with ink and not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of the heart and flesh. Do you see who you are? Do you know who you are before God? And do you want to take part with him? The calling is to you this day. Will you receive of Jesus Christ? And will you seek to be led not of your own will and might, of your own wisdom and wealth, but by the wisdom and the wealth and the strength of God in heaven? Let him who boasts, boast in this, that he knows the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we love you and we need you, and we are so thankful to you for the promise of the Holy Spirit. We meet here today in the name of your Son, Jesus, and we desire for your blessing and your gifts. But God, we desire these not for our own self, but God, that we could be a light and a witness in this world. I pray that you would pour out the gifts of healing upon your servants, that they may heal people of viruses and disease and of sickness. I pray that you would bring about a power of healing that reaches to heart and mind and spirit, that you would cause us to go forward with the Spirit and to remember that we are to preach the acceptable year. Take us to where we are to do that. Show us where to go and how to deliver that message. Help us also, Jesus, to have the same Spirit to heal the brokenhearted. Bless us with the Holy Spirit that we may heal the brokenhearted, that we may set the captives free, that we may relieve those who are oppressed, that we may proclaim the acceptable year. Oh, Holy Father, bless us with the knowledge of your Son, Jesus, and please shine the glory of the Lord upon us, that we may glow with the power of your love and of the new covenant, of the forgiveness of sins and the rights of life that you give, O just God, when you justified us and made us holy and accepted in him. We love you. Our whole hearts are for you. Lead us in the way to go, and may we always bring honor and glory to you in our word and in our deed. We praise you. Amen.